Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
We would like to welcome Francis Ball back to our studios once again today to fellowship the life study of Genesis. Francis, welcome back.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Today especially, we have a very enjoyable life study, the story of Abraham and his offering of Isaac from Genesis chapter 22. I wonder if you'd briefly give us that story for a little background.
Well, I'm sure that many of our listeners know the story of Abraham offering up Isaac recorded in Genesis 22. At this point, Abraham is way up in years, and Isaac himself is probably at least 20, so it's not like he's offering up a small boy or a baby, but he's offering up a grown son. God told him to bring his son, his only son, and offer him up as a burnt offering on a mountain that he would tell him of. And Abraham obeyed God, that he took him up to this mountain, and on their way up, Isaac said to his father, "Father, here's the wood and the fire, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" He said, "Son, God will provide himself a lamb." That when he answered that question that way, that it shows that God intended to provide himself a lamb. But in this case, God, I would say representing the Father, took Isaac, a type of the Son, Jesus Christ, up to this mountain where he was to be offered up on an altar as a burnt offering. So this story is very, very touching and very deep. And I believe we'll find some things in Witness Lee's message today that will surprise us about the deep meaning of what all transpired at that time.
Francis, before we go on to chapter 22, we're going to come back to chapter 21 and look briefly at 2 items that very much identify Isaac, a well and a tree, a tamarisk tree that Abraham planted in chapter 21 that very much resembles a tree that we saw very early in Genesis, the tree of life. Here's Witness Lee.
Praise the Lord for Genesis 22. In this chapter, Abraham has really reached the climax of his experiences in God. According to his experience, nothing was higher than what is recorded here. First of all, I wish to call your attention to the matter of continuation of this chapter following chapter 21. If you would spend more time, you could find out these 2 chapters cover at least 20 years history. It firstly gives us the record of the birth of Isaac. And then in this chapter, we could see the offering of Isaac. So we have to believe whatever is recorded in these 2 chapters must be very meaningful. We all would agree that according to the fact, Abraham should have been doing a lot of things while he was staying in Beersheba. But the Bible in chapter 21 of Genesis doesn't give us a record of anything else, only one thing: how Abraham was contending. He was contending for the well at a cost. And after he got back the well, what he did there was planting a tree, a tamarisk tree. It is not a small thing. Otherwise, the economical record of the divine revelation would not mention it. Anyhow, what is the center of the revelation in this chapter 21? Again, a tree. The tree of life was there in chapter 2, and the tamarisk tree is here in 21. I would say this, if you do have the spiritual realization with a kind of divine light, you could see the tamarisk tree in chapter 21 of Genesis is just the tree of life experienced and expressed. A tamarisk tree, the best lexicon tells us, is a tree with the fine leaves showing the flow of the riches of life. Standing there by the side of Bersila, the well of an oak, there was a tree showing the flow of the riches of life. This is the issue of the experience of the tree of life. And this is the tree of life expressed through the experiencing one. It is not a small matter. With Ishmael, there was not a tree flowing with the rays of life, but there was a boom. The sign of the life of Ishmael was a bow, a killing bow. And the sign of the life of Isaac was what? A tamarisk tree. Please tell me tonight, what is your sign? As a child of God, as a descendant of Abraham, what is your sign? Do you have a bow in your hand? Or you just have a tamarisk tree. Not killing life, but freeing life with all its riches. It's quite meaningful.
Francis, let's pause at this point. Two sons have now come forth from the loins of Abraham. But these two are quite different, and associated with both of them are signs in the biblical record that no doubt bear much spiritual significance. With Isaac, we see a tree, a tamarisk tree, planted by a well. And with Ishmael, we have a bow, his hunting bow.
Well, we've seen, for one thing, how economical the Bible is in its use of words. So we have to realize that there is more in these words than just speaking of a tree or speaking of a bow. There's a reason for these terms to be used. We have to realize that God's Word is written for us as believers, for our learning all the time. So here you have these two sons. Actually, Ishmael was begotten out of Abraham's own strength and his own doing. But Isaac was termed by God as his only son. He was a son by promise. And when Ishmael grew up, he was told to put him away. God would not accept Ishmael as an heir to Abraham. And when he was put aside, we read in chapter 21 that he became an archer. That means he used a bow to take care of his living. He had an instrument to kill with. But with Isaac, he comes in right after God had led Abraham through many tests and many experiences, and Abraham had planted a tree by a well at Beersheba. And here he experienced the Lord as his life and his life supply, and drinking of this well and planting a tree. This tree is a tamarisk tree, a tree with slender leaves, showing the development and the riches of life. That tree is a life experience of the tree that was in Genesis chapter 2. And this is what is linked with Isaac. He was raised by a well with a tree, a place to drink, and life in all its riches to come forth. So these, as Brother Lee has brought out, What is your destination? And what are you for? Are you known as a bow for killing, or as a tree bringing forth the riches of life? I believe we could say today we want to be like that tree, the tamarisk tree, full of the divine life.
Thank you, Francis. These are very vivid pictures. Let's rejoin Witness Lee, as God is going to come once again to test Abraham.
Don't forget, the original text of the Bible, both in New Testament and Old Testament, there were no chapters, no verses, no paragraphs. So chapter 22 is a right continuation of chapter 21. Maya, after mentioning the planting of tamarisk tree and the calling on the name of the Lord, right away, God came in. It's meaningful. God came in not to tempt. God would never tempt anyone. Satan would tempt a lot. But God came in to test Abraham. When you have the best time with the Lord, when you have the best enjoyment in the Lord, I could testify that would be always the time that the Lord would say, okay, you have received such a gift from me and of me. Now I would ask you to return to me. We Christians always expect, when we have a good time, that God would give us a commandment to do something for him. We would never imagine that God would ask us to give what he has given us back to him. I may present this in this way. From the very beginning, whatever Abraham had, God would not take. Eliezer, God said no. Lot was a no. Then, how about Ishmael, born by myself? God said, no. Now, after so many no's, no to Lot, no to Eliezer, and no to Ishmael, now Abraham got one. Got one Isaac, fully of God. Right? It was promised by God. It was fulfilled by God. Everything concerning Isaac was by God and was of God. I tell you, Abraham was at full peace that God would never say any more no to him. But all of a sudden, God came in. Yes, I would never say no to Isaac. Isaac was of me. Isaac was from me. But now you have to give him to me. You have to return him to me. Listen to this. This is a kind of encouragement. Whatever we have received of God, sooner or later, God would ask us to return back to him. Whatever we would return back to him, that will be sent back to us in resurrection.
Amen.
The gift you get the first time had to go through death. All the spiritual blessings, all you have received of God, all has to undergo the test of death. And eventually, this will be back to you in resurrection. Isaac was offered, yet Isaac came back. You all have to realize, after coming back, Isaac became another person. Not the natural Isaac, but the Isaac in resurrection. He was returned in resurrection.
Francis, I think this potentially is a very difficult point for we as believers to get. God is now requiring the very thing from Abraham that he himself gave to Abraham. And Witness Lee points out that God will ask us to return what we have received from Him, only to receive it back from Him in resurrection. You better help us through this difficult but meaningful thought.
This is quite a difficult but very meaningful thought here. Abraham went through so much and made so many attempts to please God. He chose Eliezer to be a servant that would be replacement for a son that God had promised. And God said, no, that's not the one. And then he tried to have an heir out of his own energy, as we saw. But God said, no, Ishmael is not the one. Then eventually, in Abraham's old age and Sarah's old age, he gave them a son called Isaac. And this was the son that he had used to fulfill all of his promise to Abraham. But now, at the very highest point of Abraham's experience, God says, take now your son and offer him on a mountain that I will show you of. Can you imagine what it was like for him to get this gift from God? A son, an heir in whom all the promises of God were wrapped up. Now he's asking him to offer him up as a burnt offering, a sacrifice. Unless you know what this is a figure, you can hardly believe that God would make such a requirement. But you know, this will be our experience in our lifetime. If we want to be one with the Lord, we'll find out that sometime He will require the very thing that He's given us to be offered back to Him. Do you have gifts? Do you have success? Are you gaining people? Are you under God's blessing, so useful? There'll come a time when God will ask you to offer that back to Him on the altar just for Him. He's not concerned about what we can do for Him, but He's concerned that we would just be dependent on Him and believe Him and take Him as our life. It's not what we can do for Him, but it's how God's purpose can be fulfilled that's of concern. God asked Abraham to offer up his son, his only son, and showed him the mountain where he had to go to offer him up. There on that mountain, he offered up Isaac. Willingly, obediently, he was ready to put him to death. And raising the knife, it's only then that God stopped him and showed him that there was another offering that would replace Isaac. And he gave him back. What a marvel that God would, at the highest point of his experience, He'd test him in that kind of way. May we learn to trust in the Lord, to believe Him, and to follow Him absolutely.
Let's return to Witness Lee for the conclusion of this life study.
Now, after all these, we come to one point. That is Abraham's faith and obedience. In this chapter, we have to say, it tells us Abraham's obedience by faith. When I was young, reading this chapter, I couldn't understand, as a human father, how Abraham was that bold. When God asked him to offer his beloved Isaac to God, Abraham did it right away. Have you noticed Romans 4:17 says, Abraham believing in God for two things. Number one, for God giving life to the dead. And also for God calling not being as being.
Amen.
The birth of Isaac was related to God calling not being as being. And the resurrection of Isaac related to God, raising up people from the dead, giving life to the dead. Abraham, when he got the commandment, right away he had the faith. Not only so, brothers, listen to this. The whole thing Abraham did in chapter 22 was absolutely 1,000% of God. It was not initiated by Abraham. And it was not done according to Abraham's concept. It was not accomplished by Abraham's desire, Abraham's understanding. Not at all. It was fully initiated by God. it was also told by God what to do, where to do, how to do. Amen. Right? You read this portion of the word, you can see in every aspect of his action in this matter, Abraham did it according to God's instruction. In some of the verses, it says Abraham, when he was approaching the mountains, you see, he saw the very place which God told him where Isaac was to be offered. He didn't do anything according to his concept. According to his choice, he did everything according to God's revelation. And eventually, what he did, listen to this, became a big seed of the whole Bible. All his descendants, the children of Israel, were asked by God 3 times a year to go to Mount Moriah to worship God, to offer their burnt offering. Do you know today, even today, in reality, we are now not worshiping God in anywhere else. Do you know where we are? Today, we are on Mount Zion. He went to a primitive region and built an altar. It was not so easy. After building the altar, Abraham put Isaac on the altar. He meant business with the Lord. This is a record of Abraham's obedience by faith. By his kind of faith. The faith that was from God. The faith with which he was infused gives him this kind of obedience. It was this kind of infused faith that he was brought to Mount Moriah.
Francis, we all love this portion where God spares Isaac and returns him to Abraham. But I would like to ask you a question. Abraham, as we have seen so graphically on occasion after occasion, failed to pass the tests that God brought to him. But here, he really is able to express such obedience and such faith in this most difficult of tests, to be able to offer up the son that he had so long sought after. What happened in him that empowered him or enabled him to be able to please God at this critical point?
Well, to understand this, we have to look at the New Testament, where God tells us through the Apostle Paul in at least 2 books, Romans and Hebrews, that Abraham was a man full of faith. He experienced a growth in faith through all the tests and all the experiences he went through. He really developed in faith. He believed in the God of resurrection. This is the real positive point of this whole thing, that God tested Abraham to such an extent and to such a measure that Abraham was willing to offer up his only son, not because he was willing to lose his son, but because he believed God, and he believed God would raise him from the dead. In Hebrews, it tells us clearly that he believed God was the God of resurrection, would give life to the dead. He had such confidence, such faith in God's purpose, that he was willing to believe that God could call into being what was not being. That's how he got Isaac in the first place. There was no Isaac, but God called one into being and gave him Isaac. And then Abraham believed also he was the God of resurrection.
Thank you, Francis. Wonderful life study today. For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.